This is Hear and Know, a podcast about our discipleship as young adults and how we can better hear the Lord and know He's working in our lives. So glad you're here.
Hey, Hadley, I'm going to have you introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you. He and I are in an institute class together, but I really don't know a ton about you. Yeah. So I'm excited to chat and learn more.
Yeah. Liberty, actually, so she mentioned on... I think we were at another institute class that was in the evening by TJ Moore. And so we have a morning institute class. So it was like the evening. It was an evening class that we were, and I heard her. She's like, oh, we have a podcast. And so I had to bring it up in institute class. Like, hey, she's like, oh, you should come on and do a podcast. But so just very brief interactions, but it's been great. But yeah, we're in a Foundations to the Restoration class. That's kind of how we met is through there. But a little about me. So my name's Hadley Hebden. I am from Spanish Fork, Utah. I was born mainly right before I was baptized. I went to, I was born in Logan, and then my dad switched jobs, and he moved down to Spanish Fork. So we moved there. And then went to Spanish Fork High School. I'm a Don. And then when just kind of like, I guess this will kind of go into what we were talking, I think what we might be guided in today, that I kind of feel that I'd like to kind of share. Throughout my life, so ever since I was 14, I never was home for a summer. This summer was my first summer ever home. So when I was 14, all the way up until I was 16, I worked at Mapledale Scout Camp. And then I joined the military when I was 17, so when I was in high school. So between my junior and senior year, I went to basic training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And then after my senior year, I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And so did my job training. And so I'm a 13 Bravo field artilleryman. So I drive big.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's
actually
super
again.
Fun. So 13 Bravo field artilleryman.
That's
so
cool.
I drive howitzers. So they're big. So there's a couple different systems, but we're on what we call paladins. They're not tanks, they're paladins. They look like tanks, but they're not. They're long range tanks. So tanks, normally like close quarters, you're kind of driving through the cities, blowing things up. Ours, we shoot miles away. So I never see the impact zone. So,
that's cool.
But I drive them, I shoot them, man them. And so it's super fun. So it's kind of, like every man's job is to go blow things up on the weekends. And so that's what I do. So the National Guard, it's 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks out of the year. We can go on deployments. We can, they can call us out to do different tasks, just like now lately in the news, or, they're doing different task force and things if put out by the governor or the president. And that's what we do. But I don't have to necessarily be doing my job, but that's what I'm trained in. So I can do like security, or I can, because our first task in the military is to be a soldier. And that's our biggest thing. And so then we're kind of tasked out. And I kind of like to explain it like the church. I mean, it's very, the church and military kind of set up similar. I like to think that like we're all disciples of Jesus Christ, but we all have a calling in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so for me, like I'm a soldier first, just as I am a disciple first. And then after that, then you can be, a bishop, or you can be a
That's
high priest.
Cool.
Like, so it's kind of like you have different responsibilities and jobs that help everything function. But first and foremost, you're a disciple.
Your overall calling in place is
exactly.
As a disciple. That's
so
cool.
And so that's kind of how I think about it. Yeah, I like to put the church and the military together because they're, I guess in the world of young men, we have so many responsibilities that kind of overcloud everything, and I think we're just trying to find our place. And I think young men in, at least I feel, and I know young women have the same thing, but, I have more experience as a young man, right?
As a man, yeah.
So as a man, I have more experience in that realm of just, it's just finding what we need to do. How can we use our priesthood? How can we be, a gentleman? How can we put ourselves out in front of the world? Because I think sometimes, let's just say dating culture. Sometimes I think we look on there and, we think we have to have it all figured out. And I think as a man, we, especially in the church, we do teach that we need to, as a man, like we are the leader of the household. And I think sometimes when we're going into marriage and dating, like we have to have it all figured out before we can get there. And I think as young men, sometimes we do fall. We have a lot of failures and maybe we're not as set as we are hoping. But we always think that maybe the young women want that, right? Or what do the young women want? What do the young men need? So it's kind of just, it's a big dilemma, I think, right now of just what can men really become? Because I think we've kind of fallen off of the tracks a little bit. But I do see a lot of strength. I just went to the YSA conference, and just thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young men and young women going. And, you know, it's funny because I see, you know, on the news that Christianity has fallen within, you know, the young adults of the world. But that's not even the case. Like, you see the church and it's just thousands of young adults. And they all want to come and they want to participate. They want to, you know, you spent money to go to this event, and we all wanted to go to listen to these speakers and feel the spirit. And I think that's just a really big case. But I think just in the world, it's just a big dilemma of just what are our roles in life as young adults. And I think it's just what we're really trying to get at is what do we need to accomplish? What does the Lord have for us, and where does He want us to go? And I think, as young men, just, you know, taking on those leadership responsibilities, is becoming a father and a husband and a man in the world, is just what are kind of those steps to get there. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, as young men, that's kind of what we're looking to get into. And it's kind of hard right now with all the chaos in the world. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think young men and young women, I think anybody from the ages of like 16 to 25, or you could broaden that probably, but we're all just trying to find our place. We're trying to find our identity as disciples and as a family member, as a significant other, as a student, as someone like trying to join the workforce and trying to build a career. There's a lot of work to be done towards who you are and who you're becoming and setting up what you want your future to be. And I think that's really hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think so many people our age, I've heard so many friends or heard of other people's stories of people just really struggling trying to figure out who they are and how they can do the right thing or become the right person or follow the right path. And I think that's so, so relevant right now. Yeah. If it's okay with you, I'd love to pull up Elder Kieran's talk just read what he said about new beginnings.
Also, I loved at the very end of conference when he took his wife's hand. I don't know if you noticed, but they kind of just were doing that like couple swing with their hands, and it was just like the joyful. That's just him, and I love his talks. I love our leaders of the church and just what they, you know, their example that they set for all of us. And his talk this conference was super, super good.
I love that you brought up, you know, this is the church of joy. And then again, he comes back and says, this is the church of new beginnings. I love that he uses those little one-liners because they really are powerful. And I think they teach so simply and clearly that this is a church of new beginnings. I'm just going to read this quote from him. It says paragraph 14.
Okay.
With every covenant we make and every effort we give to keep it, we can receive a new heart and fuller measure of a new spirit. Little by little, the more we invite His goodness into our hearts and cast out the self-defeating voices in our heads, we become His people because we truly make Him our God. Jesus so keenly wants to be our King and our Shepherd and our Prince of Peace, and we can choose to make Him so in our own hearts and minds. And I think I just love that because it shows us that if you want a new beginning, if you want a new heart, if you need to restart, turning to God and turning to the Prince of Peace is how you're going to find that.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I have to say, so one of my favorite books that I've read in the church besides, you know, the scriptures, right, has been The Divine Gift of Forgiveness. That book changed my life on how I thought about, you know, the new beginnings and thought about repentance. And one of the quotes, I have it pulled up, and it says, the Lord's influence in your life will grow as you turn your thoughts to Him. You begin to recognize that He has been by your side all along. As we repent and as we start from that new beginning, the influence, like if we turn our thoughts to the Lord on everything that we do, everything has, you know, kind of what we were talking about at the beginning. It's just, you can see the Lord's hand in everything. You can see, you can make everything about Christ. And as we do that, we can really recognize his hand in our lives and his love for us, which makes us really deeply choose him and choose his way and start from a new beginning and start that way. But we do have to first turn our thoughts to the Lord, which I love.
I love that. Lately, I've been thinking about the story of the woman with an issue of blood and just how Christ is walking through that crowd of people and her touch, her reaching was different. And I just hope that I can emulate that touch, right? Like, how can my touch be different? How can my efforts to reach the Savior perform a miracle in my life? Because they really do. I think miracles haven't ceased. Miracles are still in our day-to-day. And as we reach and as we make our efforts consecrated, beautiful things and beautiful relationships come from that. I'm curious how you think we as young adults can make our touch different, right? How can we have that same level of striving for Christ?
Yeah. I think we, as young adults, I think we have to make such a massive difference. We have to put such a big touch on the world, and we have to do something great and grand to be able to make that touch, you know, on society, on life, that we have to make this massive, huge change. But I believe that really it's the small and simple things. I think it's first starting within ourselves. We can't change the world if we can't change ourselves. If Christ came down here, and if you notice so many times in the scriptures, he went off to pray by himself. He worked on himself. He took time to be able to be with the Lord, or be with God. The Lord had time to be with his Father in heaven. He had those moments where he really, I believe that he worked on himself. Christ was perfect because he chose, he had agency just like every single one of us, but he chose to be perfect. He decided to follow God in every aspect. I think some of it, he went to God all the time. He went to his Father to ask him what he needed. He asked him what, you know, where he could be, what he needed to do. There were so many times in the scriptures where he went off to pray and then he just magically appeared in the right spot at the right time, right? To be able to help the woman at the well, or to be able to, you know, help the woman with the issue of blood, or, you know, raise somebody from the dead. He was always there at the right moment at the right time. But I think it's first starting with ourselves. And I think that starts with reading the scriptures and saying our prayers. And saying our prayers, I think, is one of the most simple things. It doesn't really have to be super complex. In the church, we try to have this, like, you know, regular, just, you know, this prayer style. But really, it's just talking to God. It's just asking him for what we need. And I think that's the biggest thing. And then after that, because I think it's building light within ourselves, because that will resonate with other people. If you have a light about yourself, and people can see that, then they're going to be happier. Because if they can see the smile on your face, they're probably going to put a smile on their face, right? If you can make somebody else happy, like, if you're all gloomy, most of the time you're not going to be able to help somebody else laugh, right? It's just that's just how it works. And I think if we build ourselves, we'll be able to slowly help other people. And we'll kind of build that. And you kind of see that with the life of Christ. You see that with the life of our prophets if you read their books. It didn't start off with, you know, somebody with this massive light of Christ, right? They were just this perfect human being, and then they became the prophet. No, it was like little by little, they made mistakes, they were learning, and they built upon themselves, and now they are the light that has literally changed the world. You know, just like Elder Kieran, like, he wasn't even a member of the church. You know, he was a convert to the church, and slowly he started to make those progressive changes to now he is an apostle, that we read his talks, and we listen to him speak. And we hear that this is the Church of Joy and the Church of New Beginnings. And I think the Church of New Beginnings for him is super impactful, because it literally changed, the church changed his life forever. I can't imagine being a convert to the church, not being born in the church, and now you're an
and being
apostle.
an apostle.
Then how many, like, how many general authorities and officers of the church are converts? And I can't imagine the missionaries that baptized them now being like, that's the person I baptized. You know, it just, it blows my mind. Yes, our impact is slowly our progression, our testimony will impact other people. And I think it's how we can personally do it as young single adults. But
no, I love that. And I love that you talked about how Christ was always in the right places. I think I'm a huge believer in if we look for opportunities to be instruments in the Lord's hands, we will always be in the right place. There will be people who need Hadley, who need his light, who need his faith, who need his experiences. And there's going to be people in my path who need me and who need the way that I learn and grow and love. And I think that's something really beautiful, that if you trust God and if you trust that there are people in your life today that need your light, that need you to smile at them or talk to them or do something kind, then that is you being a disciple. That is you fulfilling part of your role as a disciple of Christ.
I
loved that you said that.
Yeah.
New beginning in the Savior. I just want to talk a little bit more about that, about how we do that, how we rely on him to kind of give us that fresh start.
Yeah. Can I actually share like a personal
Please,
story?
Yes.
So way back when, right? Like I've had some difficulties. Like, I mean, I think so many people, they're like, yeah, I think we look at each other and we go, oh, that's a perfect member of the church, right? And I think, but I started to realize in life that there's so many of us who struggle. There's so many of us who need that new beginning. And I think I love that in the talk of just, this is a church of new beginnings, because every single person in the church has come across one sin or another. And I think as young single adults now, and I think this is kind of going back to young men, I've been talking to just lots of people, and coming to find out that most people have struggled in some way or another with the law of chastity. And I think it really is a big, massive struggle as members of the church and as young single adults, is because we know that that's wrong. It's a big no-no, right, in the Bible, in the church, right? And I think sometimes we feel lost and we don't know where we need to go. And I think this was one big example of just, this is a church of new beginnings. And I think so many times that we feel that we're alone, but really this is a church where if you look at the, you know, look at the conference center, you know, 20,000 plus members of the church, and every single one of them have repented and every single one of them needed a new beginning. And I have to say, like, for me, I'm one of them and I needed that new beginning. I really struggled when I was younger with, you know, lots of different things. So I joined the military. Military has some good and bad influence on life. I always recommend people to join the military for certain reasons and not for others. So it's I loved it. But right before I went to my job training in the summer of 2022, was 2022? Yeah. Right before I went, my bishop asked me to go be a zone leader for what we call Camp Hillman. So they had just camp for the young men of the stake. And we go up there and, you know, we kind of have, it's, you know, it's kind of like young women's camps or Boy Scout camp, but you kind of just, you have little districts and zones and you have these groups that you kind of take care of. And you just learn up in the mountains, right? And this like missionary experience. But I remember one specific day, they asked us and they invited us to go have our Joseph Smith experience. To be able to go out into the woods and to pray, and to be able to have that experience with God. I didn't want to go be a zone leader because I was already struggling with lots of different things. I didn't even know if the church was true. I was really in a bad place. And I was like, Bishop, why are you calling me to be a zone leader? Like, how am I supposed to do this? I don't know if the church is true. You know all my struggles. Like, why are you calling me to do this work? And he said, I just need you to go because I know you're going to get something out of it. And so I went up, and during this experience, I remember I opened the scriptures, you know, just doing that, you know, scripture flip, right? And I read a scripture that's actually in Isaiah, but it's also in the Book of Mormon. So 2 Nephi 22:2. And I kind of read it this way, just kind of through my tears, because, you know, I was like, just as Joseph Smith did, I think sometimes we forget that Joseph Smith, he first went to the Lord and asked for forgiveness. He asked for a new beginning. And then when he humbled himself before the Lord, he was able to receive his answers. And so I read it this way, and it says, "Behold, God is my salvation." And I just remember stopping and just feeling the overwhelming joy of God is my salvation. He already saved me. He is my salvation. And it says, "I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has also become my salvation." And I always ponder and wonder why there's in that phrase, why it says, "Behold, God is my salvation." And at the end, it says, "He has also become my salvation." God, Christ is the salvation of the world. He already said he saved every single one of us. He's already atoned for our sins. He's already made the sacrifice. But in order for his salvation to be personal, he has to become our salvation. And that's turning to the Lord in humility and in just kind of asking for a new beginning, asking for a restart button. You know, I think sometimes we don't realize that we have that. But I think every time that we hit the restart button, I think we think it just turns off. I'm like, "Oh, well, hit the restart button. I can't hit it again." And then Christ's like, "No, it's still green. Like, you can you can still hit it, you know? Like, it's still there. Every single time that we need it, we can hit the restart button. But we need to have the courage to be able to hit it." And because Christ, he's lit it up. He's lit the restart button up. We just have to reach out and have it become, you know, we have to actually make it work. And it's not going to work. We can't just think about the restart button to, you know, press and it's just going to press. Like, we don't have the power to do that, you know. We have to reach out and tap the button. And he will forgive us of our sins. I think sometimes we forget that Christ, it says in the scripture that he will forget it, all of the sins that we ever have committed will become clean. Like, he won't remember them in the sight of God. We might, but he won't. I think sometimes we forget that, is that when we repent and we kneel down and we sincerely repent, we go, "God, I failed at this in this moment. You know, save me. Can I have a new beginning?" And he goes, "Okay, yeah." And you know, you feel at peace. I think sometimes we forget the next time that we pray, he's already forgiven us for our past sins. And he'll forgive us for everything that we have. There are steps that he's asked us to complete to be able to help us through that path. For example, going to the bishop, I think, is one that I think most people are scared about doing. But every time I've been to a bishop, I know bishops, I think we have to remember that they aren't perfect. They are not perfect in what they say. They are not perfect in what they do. But most bishops, they will help you through your struggles. They'll help you. But he asks us to go to our bishops for humility. It's for that accountability partner. Because if we don't go to our parents, we don't go to our bishop, we don't go to our friends, we're just going to be relying on ourselves. And God, yes, he's going to be there to help us, but we're just going to be relying on ourselves. There's going to be no one else to be able to comfort us, to give us a hug, to be able to say the kind words that we need as human beings. Mm-hmm. God's not right here walking next to us. He is in the spirit. Like, he can answer our prayers, but we need to remember that there are other things that we need to be able to, that God has set in place with safety checks. That God has set in place for us to be able to have him become our Savior even more fully, to make sure that when we go to him at the last day, that he will reach out with his open arms and say, "This is my son. This is the one who has turned to me," just like the prodigal son. His father was ready for him. He was waiting. He was ready to receive him with open arms, saying, "Son, you know, let's eat the fatted calf. Let's, you know, let's celebrate your return." That's all Christ wants, is he wants your return. All of us, no matter what sin we've ever committed in our lives, no matter where we are in our lives, we can return to our loving Heavenly Father. We can enter the celestial kingdom, even though we've sinned. Because the celestial kingdom, I actually, in our institute class, we just talked about this. The celestial kingdom is not built upon perfect people. It's built upon people with new beginnings. Mm-hmm. The celestial kingdom is a kingdom of new beginnings, of clean and worthy individuals who are brought to be worthy and brought to that new beginning through the atonement and love of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so I think it's always turning to our Savior in humility and love and just asking for his grace, asking for his mercy, and he'll give it to us because he's already our Savior. We just have to have him personally become our salvation.
And I think sometimes I mistakenly think, like, oh, if I mess up and I repent, then God is gracious enough to bring me back to, like, ground zero. But that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. I think I love that you brought up Joseph Smith. Like, this beautiful restoration and these miracles and things that have come to light because of him started with repentance. And it wasn't just he repented and then was like, okay, I'm fine. It's when we repent, when we turn to Christ, then we're enabled to be so much more and become so much more and do so much more. I think repentance isn't just a means of erasing what we do wrong, but it's a way of enabling us to do more and enabling us to build our life centered on Christ. And I think I love that you brought that up too. We're running low on time, so I just want to end by asking you, how have you seen God in your life, and how have you come to know that Christ is your personal Savior?
I think recently coming home from the mission, I thought everything, when I got home, life was going pretty good for me. I had jobs lined up. I had, schooling was all going good. I was supposed to start, a job here in Provo that kind of, got taken away and wasn't planning on going to this semester of college. And I just started to realize that God has a plan. If I were to continue with that job, I probably wouldn't be able to get my degree. And I wouldn't be able to find the relationships that I need. I wouldn't have been able, because I was just living at home right after my mission. I wouldn't have been able to have the experience of moving out, kind of just living on my own, having those experiences. I see the Lord in just small little ways all of the time. I think just even with the changes of the lease right now, just in the, the fall colors, he's in every aspect. Kind of going on that new beginning is he changes us in amazing ways. During the winter it's dead and it's I guess some people would say it's not as pretty, but if we didn't have forest fires, if we didn't have the winter season, we wouldn't be able to have the spring and the fall colors, because it would just be, we have those beautiful colors and the massive changes. We wouldn't be able to see the change that God has. And I think that's why I really love Utah, is because Utah. And no matter where you go, it's different. You go to the south, it's, more desert. You go more north, and it's, mountains and trees, and it has more of that, forest tropical look to it. You can find rivers, you can find lakes. Yeah, you even tell people you can find the ocean here. Salt Lake is basically that, you can find everything here, and it changes, but everywhere is still Zion. And I think we got to, for me, is finding my own little Zions in my life, of just where I can go to find the peace and the comfort. I think where I find my little Zion, my little sacred grove, is in places where I have made the most change. I find my little sacred grove kind of actually the footstep, or not the footsteps, but the, like, right off the side of my bed, where I've knelt and I've prayed. Remember when I was younger, I had this dream in my head of, I want to have marks at the side of my bed where I kneel every night to pray. Where I know that every single day there's these two little knee marks that everybody knows. They're like, what is that? I'm like, that's where I pray. That's my little prayer, those are my little prayer circles, And I think those little moments where I've changed the most is where I find my little sacred groves. And sometimes people are scared of those places where they've made mistakes, or where they've changed, or where they've struggled. But I think honestly we can take those. I think some of the most sacred places that Christ will visit is where they put him on the cross in his gravesite. And the tomb where they put Christ, I will not be surprised if that's a place that Christ visits when he returns. And he's like, yep, I rose from the dead here. I was crucified here. I bled for your sins here. I walked these streets. And when he comes to Zion, comes to Utah, he could be walking down the street and be like, yes, this is where I called. This is where this is where I said this is the place. This is where the prophet stood, where I now stand to speak as the head of the church. They're not easy places to be. But I think as we find Christ in the little things, he really will become, and we will literally see him in everything that we do. Everything that we are. So hopefully that makes sense. But yeah,
it's powerful. I love that. I need meme works on the side of my bed. I'm like, I want little prayer circles. Oh, that's beautiful. Thanks, Hadley.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts you'd want to share to anyone listening?
I guess I've been having it on my lap the whole time, and I think I just have the impression to just share it. I have these little scriptures. So these ones are in Portuguese that I got for my mission. And on one side I have a soldier, and on the other side I have Moroni, with the title Liberty. And on one side I have a scripture that actually came on my mission. It's in Isaiah 6:8, and it says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." I think in our lives we're going to experience a lot of difficult things. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's hard to say, hey, send me. Send me on a mission. Send me to go be the Relief Society president. Send me to go be the Elders Quorum president. Send me to be bishop. You know, I think for these apostles, it's here, send me. And this is when Isaiah was called to be the prophesy and be the prophets, when these prophets are going. I do not think it is easy for Oaks to be, yep, call me, I'll be the prophet. You see him in tears during conferences. I think it was the first time I've ever seen Oaks in tears, because it's not an easy thing. It's not easy to be the prophet. It's not easy to be the 12 apostles. It's not easy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. For me, it's not easy to be a soldier. It's not easy to be one of God's warriors. But it's a volunteer effort. And I think if we just look to him, he will be the best captain. I know Moroni was a fantastic one, and he had the title Liberty was great. But I think the Lord's a lot better. But Moroni, he followed in those footsteps. And I know as we follow the prophet, and as we follow in his command and what he wants for us, those are the words of our Savior. And so as we're kind of moving into that transition of, a new prophet, the new 12 apostle, more 12 apostles coming in. And we know that Jeff R. Holland and Eyring are going to pass away sometime, unfortunately. And, powerful spokesman. And they won't be here for much longer. But I know as we follow who the Lord puts in, that we will be able to become better disciples, that we will be able to find our new beginnings, because we're in the last days, and that's who we need. We need the Lord in everything that we do.
Amen. Thanks, Hadley.